Age of Transitions.
You are listening to the Age of Transitions. I'm your host, Aaron Franz, coming at you live this Sunday, April 9th, Easter Sunday, no less, 2023. Live, as always, from the facilities of Ocelli.com. Also, my website is theageoftransitions.com. You can pick up the podcast there. You can support the show there. We have the Patreon page. Thank you, everybody, for your support on Patreon. I have my book, Revolve, Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood. That's available in paperback and ebook copies. Have the t-shirts for the different shows, The Age of Transitions and Uncle the Podcast, have those. And also the affiliate links. So if you're ever buying a book online, think about clicking through the bookshop.org links at my website. Anything you get on there will just get a little kickback to me. Won't cost anything extra. So bookshop.org links at my website. Also, if you want to do a podcast, consider using Libsyn as your podcast hosting service. Use promo code Franz. You'll get 2 months of the service for free. So thank you, as always, for listening. Thank you for being here, listening live, listening in podcast form, whatever it may be. Again, it is a live show, so if you want to call in, you can. Call in. The number is 319-527-5016. You can also use Skype. If you do, type a message to Chuck. He's Charles.Ocelli on Skype. Type him something. He'll bring you on the show. Or call 319-527-5016. Today is special not just because of the holiday, but because I have a guest on the show once again. Very excited about that. Tonight I have the host of the Personal Pans podcast, Vanessa Wawilko. Welcome, Vanessa.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. It's great to have you. First time you've been on the show. Fellow podcaster. Personal Pans. So why don't you just start by introducing yourself to the audience. Who are you? What is the Personal Pans podcast? That.
All right. Well, again, you pronounced my last name correctly, which nobody can do. So thank you for that.
Oh, good. I was afraid I didn't, honestly. So I'm happy about that.
No one ever gets it right on the first try. So applause from me, first of all.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, yes.
I did that with another guest, Sam Idlett. So he was very happy about that, too. So that's two times at least I pulled that off.
Yes. So well done. So, yeah, my name is Vanessa Wawilko. I do a lot of things. I make chainmail. I work in PR. I'm one of the organizers of PanParacon, and an outgrowth of that, the online paranormal conference was Personal Pans. I wanted to keep those conversations going. I wanted to broaden the conversation, because a lot of paranormal spaces, a lot of nerd spaces, can look a little homogenous, even though there are so many diverse voices and points of view in the field. So I wanted to talk to people who weren't kind of seen as like conventionally interested in these things, but much like anime, much like comic books, much like all of these kind of nerd things, lots of people are interested in it. So, I've been doing that for almost a year and a half now. First I just started talking to my friends, but then I started branching out and making new friends.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Yeah. I gotta say, I really enjoy, I love the, logo is awesome. Who made that logo?
Oh, my friend, Melissa, whom I adore. She was actually the first guest on the podcast. We used to work together and she's incredibly talented. She's a graphic designer. She's a crochet artist. She makes soap. She makes candles. She can do pretty much anything. And, thankfully I was like, I was obsessed with the Book It program when I was a kid. The idea of like personal pans was very evocative of the type of conversations I wanted to have. And I was like, okay, I want like Baphomet, but with like a Lisa Frank 80s aesthetic. And she nailed it, just knocked it out of the park immediately. So yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's a job well done there. It's really cool. And I appreciate the Pizza Hut pan pizza / Book It reference. We're the same age, so I was part of that program too. I've got fond memories of the the big button that was, you'd turn it, and it was, what do you call that? That's not a hologram. What do you call that when you turn it's like animated? What is that?
I think it's lenticular.
Yes.
I still think that my lenticular button is somewhere buried in a box in my mom's house, and I want to just rescue it so badly.
Yeah, I know I had one years ago. It was in my closet in my bedroom at my parents' house. And I don't, just like you, I think it's there, but I don't know it's there. It's got like the little stars on it and all that. So
yes, I earned those stars. I want those stars.
Yeah. So podcast, not necessarily about pizza, not necessarily about the great God Pan, but maybe has Pan been a topic of discussion on the show at any point?
You know, it's really funny. I feel like Pan has been mentioned maybe once, and pizza, I think, maybe once. A lot of the conversations have really just been late day diagnosed ADHD people finding each other and making friends with each other.
Okay. Yeah.
And also the transition, because I'm very interested in belief. I've always been interested in belief. And what happens when you grow up in a fundamentalist or evangelical Christian home and then become a witch or become an atheist? And what does that journey look like? So I'm interested in having those conversations as well. Again, the ADHD, right? It's kind of like, what inspires me now? So personal Pans might have inspired the name and logo, but not necessarily the conversations.
Got it. Well, I like it a lot. It's really engaging. So yeah, both the logo, the name, I like. Now were you raised in a fundamentalist household and then moved to, Wicca or paganism or what is that a yes? And if so, what are the details of that part of your story?
It's a yes, but there's a condition to it, because all of my friends who grew up evangelical had kind of a very specific upbringing in terms of their religious upbringing and how intense they were in the religion. Like, my mom raised me to be an evangelical Christian, that idea that you accept Jesus into your heart and that you're saved. But I think I went to church maybe twice, maybe three times. She doesn't like people, so we just didn't go to church. She was into astrology. This I find very fascinating. And I think a lot of people don't realize, like, in the 70s, with that kind of like hippie Christian stuff, there was a lot of, there was a lot more overlap. Like, I feel like certain lines have been drawn now that weren't drawn back then, because my aunt, converted to Christianity first, and then my mother did, and they were both deep into astrology. When my aunt passed, I think I took like 20 astrology books from her home. She did my chart. I knew my planets from the time I was a kid, what houses they were in, all of that. So I kind of grew up with a little more loose kind of Christianity, as opposed to my friends who grew up going to youth groups and hell houses and church bands and converting their friends and things like that. So I can speak the language and I understand the milieu that they grew up in, but I was kind of an outsider. I don't want to claim too much, because so many people I knew grew up in a way more intense environments than I did.
Okay. So yeah, you were pretty lucky, I would say, in that regard. Sounds like that's pretty good.
I consider myself very lucky. I think it was easier for me to get out because, I wasn't so indoctrinated with all of it. Like so many people I know left and were having nightmares for years about going to hell. I never had to deal with that, thankfully. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, would you say that you personally ascribe to any sort of faith or religion or anything like that now?
It's kind of hard to say. If you push me, I identify as a chaos magician. I'm pretty fluid in terms of my beliefs, though. I'm mostly agnostic, but I do use magical practices, most of them just my own, just for a sense of like meditation, like trying to like enact my will on reality. But I don't take too much of that too mm-hmm. seriously, because mm-hmm. I think fundamentally any belief system that we create or say that we ascribe to, ultimately, you know, we invented language, we invented all of that. So when you're saying that like this perfect, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-experiencing God can be described in words that were invented by a three-dimensional meat sack operating in a linear time dimension, I get a little suspicious.
Yeah.
Like, no, get, oh, that's pretty arrogant, actually. Yeah. Cool, if that works for you.
Yeah, it always fascinates me how literal people will take whatever given religion you're talking about and it's being ascribed to, just the literal interpretations to, I mean, that's the evangelical point of view, right? It's like we have this scripture given to us by God and it's perfectly written as it is, as, you know, the testament of, this is the word of God and that's it. And, you know, we're reading it like a storybook, I guess. I don't know. I feel like I have difficulty. Things just break down so quick. But I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any shortage of people. They're just doing that. Like this, like we have to try to literally interpret this thing, and that's the right way to go about it.
It's so wild to me. It's so wild to me. And especially like I am a huge fan of Bert Ehrman and his work, his biblical scholarship, right? And he even looked at the Gospels and whether or not we can attribute authenticity to any of them. And even the ones that are quote unquote most authentic break down if you look at even the language that is used. You know, like rhetorical devices that didn't exist until the 3rd century being ascribed to illiterate men, you know, living in a completely different geographical area.
But
then we're like, okay, but no, this is the true literal. And again, this is my mother, right? She believes that the Bible is the true literal word of God. And you can't fight. You can't have a conversation then. It's like it ends there. And then if you poke any holes in it, it's, well, you know, God works in mysterious ways. And that's the coverall. So you can never break into that logical circle. Thankfully, my mother isn't one of those, like, if you doubt, that's the devil. But a lot of my friends grew up with that. And that's a whole other level of gaslighting you have to deconstruct in order to figure out what you authentically believe and care about.
Sure. Now, with all that being said, do you believe that, say, the Bible, if you read it in a certain way that you can take, are there certain eternal truths and useful things you could take out of it with maybe not a literal reading, but a different sort of reading?
I think there are some things in any religious text. I'm more interested, but unfortunately, like so many of the things that don't speak to eternal truths are the things that are getting paraded in public in order to justify whatever people want to have happen in society, which I think it's really dangerous. I always think about, a friend of mine, is Lutheran, and she talked about going to some like biblical like retreat, right? But pretty loose, right? It was not a intense kind of one. And they were saying, you know, if we look at the Bible, like what does Jesus say? And that idea of the Sermon on the Mount, love others as you love yourself. So fundamentally, you have to learn how to love yourself in order to be of benefit to anybody, and also to be like God, right? You have to love yourself. You have to cherish yourself and then cherish other people as you would love yourself. that is completely gone from any kind of discourse. If anything, like, we're taught to hate ourselves, to hate the body, to hate this life, and to be working constantly against it, because this idea that it's a source of sin. So, yeah. Yes, can you take something from the Bible? Yes. Are most people taking the right things from the Bible? Not the loud ones.
Yeah. It's interesting, like, in terms of Christianity, I know, like, Gnostic Christianity is pretty fascinating. And trolling around the internet in recent years, I know that there have been different Gnostic groups that have come out with podcasts and things. I always find it fascinating. I've given them a listen. I listen to some of those, and it sounds like an even more extreme version of it differs from mainstream evangelical Christianity, to be sure. But then some of the worst aspects of that, too, kind of work their way in. I mean, if you think homophobia is bad with evangelicals, it's like 5 times worse with some of these, like, Gnostic sects and things like this. Have you ever, do you have any opinions first on Gnosticism? And then kind of also, have you seen, like, have you found podcasts or different media from these different cults really online yourself?
So this is interesting, because my only real exploration of Gnosticism is in, like, the work of Elaine Pagels. I'm not familiar at all with contemporary Gnosticism. What I do love is, like, reading her work on Gnostics and different Gnostic sects and their belief system, because it was so, at least back in the day, or what we've reconstructed of what happened, you know, back 2,000 years ago, it was so much more egalitarian. It was, you know, this idea that, like, people would draw lots to see who would be priest that day, because everybody was equal in the eyes of God. So, you know, there was the idea of hierarchy or lasting hierarchy was antithetical to that belief system. And then, you know, in the Gospels, that idea that, like, anybody can work. If anybody does the work and the study, then you can receive divine revelation. So there were hundreds of Gnostic Gospels that were circulating at the time. Only a few have remained that we have access to. So again, I'm not familiar with contemporary readings of that. I do think, though, that I mean, I guess I'm not surprised by you telling me about, like, bigoted beliefs and things like that, because people, again, will reconstruct whatever they want to reflect whatever they want. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they don't actually look at what is this text actually saying, or what does this mean in a historical context? It's, what can I pull from this so that I can turn my belief system into a godly system? Mm-hmm. And that gets dangerous no matter what sect you're a part of.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And I find Gnosticism fascinating, and I think certain aspects of it are, there's good aspects of it for sure. And they talk about certain, like, even different practices, like meditative practices and things like that, that are pretty interesting. But then they'll go off on some extreme tangents, and it's just like, ooh, okay, this isn't, it just comes off very cultish to me. So it's just one of those things. And again, living in this information age is really something else. Like, I mean, my mind exploded several times just going through the internet and digging up all different resources and you know, occult information. It's really amazing and wonderful what you can find and what you can dig through and the different texts you can get. So it can be great. And then, of course, there's the flip side of it too. What kind of adventures or misadventures might you have found over the years and, you know, just coming across occult materials online, I guess I'll say?
It's so funny you mentioned this, because when I was in high school, right, early days of the internet, and I remember I would just find whatever I could on the things I was interested in. So I was looking up anything I could find about Lilith. I was looking up anything I could find about Isis. I was looking up anything I could find about Inanna, things like that. So I'm, like, searching for all this occult stuff. And I probably still have printouts from my days in college, because we would have this they would like charge us for prints if we printed them or not. And so I had all these like saved websites and I was like, guess what, DePaul? You're going to print out like 300 pages on a random occult stuff from the internet. Have fun. And it's really funny because I remember reading about chaos magic. And like, I was a teenage edgelord, right? But even some of this stuff, I was just like, man, what are these people talking about, right? And so it was like chaos magic, like there is no human being, there is only a human doing, talking about like Uranian barbaric and you know, achieving these different states of consciousness. At the time, I was just like, man, this is really stupid. I don't like this. And then later, I'm like, oh, I've been doing chaos magic this whole time. Oops.
Surprise. Oh, okay. Vanessa, that sound means that we have a caller. So let's just hold this thought right here. We can return to it, but why don't we just go to caller? Hopefully they have a good question for you. And then, we'll pick this up. So, caller, you're on at the Age of Transitions with guest Vanessa Wawilko, host of Personal Pants Podcast. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Jimmy James, calling from the USA.
Jimmy, great to have you. Jimmy is a regular caller. Great to talk to you as always, Jimmy. Jimmy, do you have a question for Vanessa?
Sort of. I'm trying to. So what exactly she does or she doesn't believe in a spiritual world?
Okay. That sounds like a question to me, Vanessa. Do you or do you not believe in a spiritual world?
It depends on the day. And it depends on, I hate this. This is really my ADHD coming through because it's like, well, everything is conditional, right? So how are we even defining what a spiritual world is, I guess, first of all? And if we're talking about a spiritual world, like, what do we think these entities actually are versus not, right? Like, I always think about in terms of ghosts and people talking about, like, what are these things? It's like, well, do we know if it's actually a person who's passed or mental projection or, you know, is it a disembodied spirit? So, if pressed, like, yes, question mark. But I think that we need to ask even deeper questions about what we think any of these things mean in the first place before I can answer that question, authentically.
Okay. Jimmy, is that any thoughts on that or any, further things on that, Jimmy?
Well, I wish to explore. What she said sounds right. She said she was agnostic. I guess that's what agnostic is, right?
Yeah. For me, it's just, I get kind of caught in that, like, okay, how are we defining things? What do we think these things are? Like, I think ultimately, if we want to talk about a world that exists outside of our three-dimensional perceptions, that whatever that is can't ever be effectively described in our language. I think it can be felt authentically, but I also think that the most things that we feel authentically, they don't have words. There just isn't language to articulate those things.
Ah, au contraire, monsieur. Where there is a court, well, let's put it this way. If there was some kind of court where you and I could debate this, let's say, in front of a jury, would you think that you could convince them that, say, for instance, there is no design or designer or creator? Or would you think I would most likely be able to say proof that there absolutely was creative design?
I don't think you could. I don't know that I would argue against you though. Like, I think that Again, I think if you're trying to talk about the things that are fundamentally beyond the realm of comprehension, right, beyond our three-dimensional material existence, I think that there are limits to how you can describe any of those things and the evidence that you can put forward about any of those things.
That's what you're assuming. But I would put forward just the thought. You said, well, there is no language, this, that, and the other thing. Well, what about math? Everything in the known universe is geometric, and we have to face the fact man didn't invent math. We discovered it. And this is, in my mind, absolute proof of creative design.
Yeah, well, Jimmy James, here's the interesting thing about that, though. How would you measure a thought mathematically? You wouldn't say that a thought doesn't exist. You wouldn't say that it's not part of the known universe. But to measure it geometrically is kind of difficult, right? What would be the correct geometric? In the physical universe. Okay, but either way, there are things that affect the physical universe that are not geometrically measurable, correct? Because thoughts certainly do affect the physical plane, do they not?
I don't know if that to be true or not true.
I understand.
People claim that it does.
Well,
people
okay.
say it does. I don't know.
Fair enough. Vanessa, what do you think about that? That's my question for you. How about that?
I mean, I'm with you 100%, right? Like again, there are things beyond our comprehension. And also, again, so my background is in social science research, right? We have measures for things, but we invented those measures for things.
Yes.
And those measures evolve over time. Anytime you are measuring something, you are using a measure that was, again, invented by people. Using and again we can have the best assumptions about the intentions of all of these people, but again, anytime you are measuring anything, you are choosing what to measure and how to measure it. That is already a biased choice, right? Again, nothing necessarily bad about it.
Phi is the golden mean, the golden ratio is fascinating to me. It's pointing out this way that, using a mathematical principle, we've sort of found like a clue. And I guess you're advocating for what is this called, divine creation or creative design, something design. I can't remember what they call it. Intelligent design. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, that would be the old term. Design. Intelligent design used to be the old term. I think they've actually renamed it, but it's still intelligent design sounds the most sensible way to explain it. That it means that some thought, some direction was given by a sentient being to create something that has this much order to it, which you can't argue that it doesn't have a lot of order because from the segments of your fingers all the way to the way the plants grow, everything emerges and is substantiated with a mathematical equation that is significantly consistent. So that's the thing, and you could say that that's measurable and discernible without an issue. But this is a deep question, is what the problem is, and I understand where it's all going. That's why I wanted to throw in mine. It's like, how do you measure thought? Okay. Also, you could say that. Almost anybody you know, you know the words hate and love. You know what those words indicate. You know what the feeling is. Good. Now measure it. Tell me how to measure. What is the proper measurement? Is it a matter of time? Is it a matter of weight? I don't think hate has a weight. I don't think love has a weight. But maybe they do, and we just don't know how to measure it. Same thing with a thought. You can measure an electrical impulse that represents the processing of said thought, but measure the thought. Measure the image. And we do know that it is translatable. There's all kinds of things, even if you do certain things, and psychic experiments have been done where even water will turn around and retain an image that is given to it by a thought.
and it's very interesting. Or an emotion can be retained in water, which is outside of the body. Although you have projected it from your body, there is clearly something at play there that no one knows how to measure. So just saying, these things have been replicated. But anyway, I'll shut up now, Aaron. Sorry.
This gets real deep real quick, which is not bad. It's good. I enjoy that thoroughly. The thoughts on the math thing, I generally have a similar opinion to Vanessa in that it's all just a system of like measurement and counting, essentially. And we get tripped up in thinking there's only one possible way to measure things when there are not. There's different methods we could employ to measure things, and that in itself says a lot to me. You get into like quantum theory is fascinating. And just the relationship between consciousness, which is still a mystery, and I think will remain that way, certainly for the foreseeable future, the relationship of that and the material existence that can be measured, it can be measured, and that's fine, but it breaks down once, and it has to do with observation, it has to do with the mystery of consciousness, which is from the evidence of these different experiments, it's tenuous and it seems to slip through our fingers whenever we try to measure it. So I think that says a lot. But Jimmy, thanks for your call. I think I'm going to send you on your way for now. But please do feel free to call in the next hour when the Uncle Show rolls around. So thank you, Jimmy. We'll talk to you soon, man. It was great to talk to you as always. But any thoughts on any of this conversation yourself there, Vanessa?
I think about there's this book called Don't Sleep, There Are Snakes. And it's about this group in the Amazon, indigenous group, that has resisted all attempts at missionary conversion for over 100 years. Mm. Their language doesn't have numbers. So if we want to talk about like numbers or math being a given system or a universal system, they don't have numbers. They have a very different like color language as well. They have this sense of, the reason missionary work hasn't ever taken there is because their entire worldview is based off of experiential living, right? So people are like, okay, let me tell you the word of Jesus. And the questions are always, do you know Jesus or do you know someone who knew Jesus? Mm-hmm. And the answer is always no to both. And they're like, cool, well, that's not real to us. Mm-hmm. So again, we have this idea that like experience is universal, or again, these systems are universal. But then you find these different groups who exist without them, and that starts breaking down. And you start realizing, like, okay, well, maybe these things have been a part of our culture because of a lot of different historical reasons and not because there's some universal knowledge that has been beamed into our heads.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, anything with a specific religion for me, I just always – I kind of go back to the thing like, well – there have been many civilizations over the years, and there have been many different iterations of religions, sometimes bringing up similar themes throughout civilizations, which I find fascinating. I think comparative religion is useful. But mm-hmm. But if you're to ignore that and if you say comparative religion, there's nothing to it, then you'd say, okay, there's been these different religions in these different lands over the many millennia we've been around. And it just seems wrong to me to say that one person's beliefs ages ago were incorrect, but now the current en vogue religion is finally the correct one. That doesn't work for me, you know?
It doesn't work for me either. You know, I always look at I, again, ADHD weirdo, so I've always been interested in ancient cultures, ancient religions. And if you look at like the ancient Babylonians, ancient Sumerians, and this idea that you die and you just go to the house of dust, right? So, and you just kind of kick around there for like 100 years and then you blink out of existence. You know, there have been so many different approaches to life, to the afterlife. Again, is it a surprise that people living in, you know, the Indus Valley and like dealing with dust storms and things like that, again, that their demons would all be like wind demons, and then that their afterlife would be just a house of dust. Again, I think you can look at the historical and cultural contexts of belief systems and see how the physical reality has shaped how people access truth or define truth. And I think there's value in that. Again, like when to your earlier question about finding truth in these books, like, yeah, you can. You also need to understand the historical and cultural context that all of these belief systems grew out of, because of course it was shaped by all of those things.
I mean, there's so many. What about just the term ancient mysteries? Do you enjoy that term? What does that evoke anything? Do you despise it? How do you feel about that one?
I hate it.
Nice.
I think the danger is that like, ancient mysteries has been so tied up in like ancient aliens and things like that, which, man, talk about like reading back into the past to try to see what you want to see and to justify what you believe in now. Like, okay, I get it. And unfortunately, like, so I see this actually a lot in like Wiccan or pagan communities where they're reconstructing something, but they're acting like they're recovering an ancient mystery. And it's like, there are certain things that are lost. They are gone. It stinks, but it's the truth. We will never recover them. Or maybe we will uncover something in a cave or in a tomb and it'll recontextualize a lot of our understanding of this particular thing. But, a lot of people want to claim like access to these two, like you said, ancient mysteries, and really, you know, they're just regurgitating, stuff that was written in like the 1800s, if they're lucky, maybe 1900s. I hate it.
Yeah. Okay. That's, yeah. I want the honest answer. I'm glad I got it. Yeah. That's, I mean, whenever I hear that term, I think of Manly P. Hall. I know that's like, kind of like one of his ones he likes to use. Yes. I think the way he uses it is useful. But yeah, as you're saying, like in our time, I think it's not so useful anymore because, again, you jump to the things, you do the associations like the ancient aliens and whatnot. So, yeah, I definitely see that. The Pan-Paracon, could you talk about that? What exactly is that? What is it?
Yeah. So it's an online paranormal conference we've done for the past couple of years. It started because a bunch of us wanted to go to Michigan Paracon in, 2021. And it was in the middle of the Delta wave and they dropped all mask requirements. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people who are medically vulnerable couldn't risk it, right? Mm-hmm. And didn't want to. So I was like, all right, well, why don't we create an online conference? The group of three of us threw it together in a month, which is pretty cool. And again, like I mentioned, my background is in social theory and social science research, and I minored in women's studies, and I care about like, okay, especially, sorry, I'm all over the place, but it's just, I think about my experience in like nerd communities and there is a certain sensibility of like not rocking the boat because people are afraid of being ostracized because they've already been ostracized from mainstream society. And they don't want to lose their community and their little nerd group, right? And so there is a tendency not to talk about more serious social issues in terms of race and gender and class and all of that. And I, again, clearly, as I'm like, I hate the term ancient mysteries. I'm like, I'm sick of the same five white guys like talking about the paranormal and then deciding that's all it is. You know, it's like, what do other people have to say? What do underrepresented groups have to say? And again, like my Twitter feed is full of people who don't look like me talking about what they think about the paranormal, what they think about UFOs, what they think about, pagan belief systems, like all of that. It is not hard to find people who are not like you, who have interesting things to say. Mm-hmm. And so just showcasing different voices, showcasing people who, again, may not feel safe like going to an in-person conference or who wouldn't even necessarily be asked to speak at a conference. But based off of their tweets, at least, I know that they have good opinions and things worth sharing with the world. So just creating a space for that where we can have, again, more diverse ideas, more diverse voices. So it's not just the same people spouting, again, the same nonsense and then wondering why there are no new ideas. It's like, well, if you don't talk to anybody outside your little circle, you're never going to get an influx of new ideas.
See. Okay. So it is, it's strictly online and it is online and will it be in the future?
Yes. I mean, we've always talked about how, again, for me, it's important to always have an online component because I have friends who are chronically ill, who are medically sensitive, who are disabled. And, you know, the pandemic really allowed for this broadening, right? Like, hey, we can host stuff on Zoom, on Skype, you can stream it on YouTube. Like there are all these opportunities to again, bring more people into the conversation because a lot of these conferences too, like they either don't pay people or they don't pay people enough. Yeah. And like it can be cost prohibitive also to travel around the country and go to these things. So even if there is ever a Panpericon in person, I always want there to be an online component. Just for that accessibility issue.
You know what they call this? They call this the democratization of paranormal and fringe conventions.
Oh, I like that. Can I steal that?
Yes, please do. I just get that. I kind of made that up on the spot based off of the, I don't know if you've heard of the democratization of media. Have you heard that one?
I haven't, no.
It just has to do with the fact that, you know, now that we all basically, anybody can really get a computer for consumer level cost. Many people, not everybody can afford it. And you can also equip such computer with different media programs where you can produce your own media, distribute it via the internet. And now that the people can make their own media and distribute it freely. That's the democratization of media, right? And it's facilitated by technology, internet, and whatnot.
Which I love. I've talked about this probably not in that specific term, but just like, I think it's so beautiful again to for people to create things and to not be beholden to power structures or studio structures or anything like that. Like you said, you got a camera and you can and an internet connection, you could start putting content up on YouTube and create a following. If you have a good point of view or a voice, you can make a name for yourself in a field. I love that. I love that so much.
Yeah. I think it's great. It's so cool. And a lot of the things that I wish I would have had when I was a kid, now kids can have, and I think that's really great. And honestly, I think one of the best aspects of YouTube is that you can just look up how to do things. Like even if it's just a matter of like fixing, a wall switch or something like that, or hanging a shelf or something like that. Like I really like that too.
It's beautiful because it really does create, it can create like relationships in the community and an education system also. Because yes, I love the fact that if I don't know how to do something, I can do a YouTube search and very likely someone has uploaded a tutorial step by step how to do this. I taught myself how to crochet and knit off of YouTube tutorials. And now I'm designing my own, you know, crochet toys and whatnot but it started with just watching somebody make the stitches on YouTube. It's like, oh, that's how it works. Okay. Now I know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. I guess I have to do the double-edged sword thing with, I mean, yeah, that every technological step forward, there's always two sides of it where, yes, we can all do these things, but of course we also know that now that anybody can have a voice, you can have a voice to say things that, you know, aren't so helpful. And people can just go out there and agitate one another. That seems to be a popular thing to do these days. Do you have any thoughts on that? And maybe that as a potential sort of issue facing people who want to create with better intentions, I'd suppose. And maybe these people even do have good intentions, but they've just gone astray. Any thoughts on that area of it?
Yeah, I have several thoughts about this. I think in some cases, some people may start out with good intentions, but then realize that algorithmically, anger drives clicks and start creating content that's a little more baiting. And then some people might just lose the plot and finally just become like the horrible gadfly that they initially, it was just a persona to create clicks. Yeah. But I think there are also a lot of just malicious actors out there. And unfortunately, we have this incredible democratization of media, right? But we don't have along with it a media literacy.
Yes.
This is what kind of terrifies me, because I love the fact that anybody can post anything. I really do. The problem is that most people don't know how to discern whether or not someone is full of it or not.
Yeah.
And so it'll really be astonishing to me. And I feel like it's worse with my mom's generation, because there was this idea that like you could trust media and you could vet media. And now even like the major media outlets don't have copy editors. Right. So they're publishing things with typos, which
yes,
never used to happen. Right. Or rarely. And so it's like even like the big one, you know, the big names are doing their due diligence. I feel good in many ways that I was raised by like paranoid Polish immigrants, because I don't really trust much of anything that I hear. And I'm always like, okay, well, what's the story behind this, or who's funding this, or what's the agenda here? But I don't think that a lot of people think that critically all the time. Like, I'm not upset that I don't trust anybody. I just don't trust anybody, and it forces me to verify anything that I see. Or if I'm like, this seems wrong, then I can know like, okay, let me look for something that's going to debunk this and then see if those sources are worthwhile. I remember getting into this like political discussion. It was fight. I shouldn't say it was a discussion. It was a political fight with my uncle's wife. And she literally cited something that somebody posted on a blog. And I was like, you are an intelligent woman. I can't believe you are like citing this. And it was like some random woman talking about how like if everybody burned tires on their lawns, the earth would be fine, right? It was like climate change denialism. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like this is just, I have a blog spot. Like anybody can create a blog spot account right now. Like what are you doing? It's terrifying. It's terrifying because I have that background in research. I mean, again, I was raised paranoid, so I'm always like, really, to everything. But it's very strange to me that people will, and it happens when people hear what they want to hear and hear what supports the belief that they want to have in the first place. Mm-hmm. So they don't dig further. They don't want to question it, but then they end up, you know, quoting things that have no provenance. Like, no, this isn't vetted. Like, this is nothing. What are you doing? Yeah, that is like the perpetual frustration of Vanessa.
Well, you are not alone if it makes you feel any better. So.
Thank God.
So there is that, at least. Technology is kind of my thing that I like to focus on as much as I am able to focus. I kind of go all over the place myself. But I just find it fascinating the ways in which technology itself kind of has its own intrinsic logic and method. And when we are in a technological world, when we're in these virtual spaces, I think it's real easy to get lost and actually get not, I wouldn't say possessed by the technology, but the workings of the technology become our own because we are in its world. And so it's in a sense remaking us as a result, I feel.
Especially with smartphones, I mean, it literally is changing the structure of our brains. That's shown in the research with kids too. We're all becoming, like, I, looking back, had ADHD the whole time, but there is, and I'm going to forget the name of it now, but it's essentially like an acquired ADHD. Just because the demands of late stage capitalism and 24-hour news networks and having smartphones that we can check all the time. And it's just like, I mean, it's a little dopamine factory, right?
Yeah.
And in some ways, again, I love the access and the access to information. On the other hand, evolutionarily, we are not equipped to deal with all of these technological changes.
Yes.
And again, all of the ethical issues that come up with all of these technological changes. And we're all kind of fried. And again, it's just such a, it's so wild to me to think of something that came out like, what, a decade or so ago has completely shaped the way that we all communicate with each other. Or again, you can just record a video on your phone, upload it to YouTube, upload it to TikTok, whatever, communicate with people all over the world.
Yeah. That's interesting. The idea of ADHD being sort of the product of, again, living in this modern world we're in. And I view a lot of things that way. I view the massive problem of depression. Oftentimes I can't help but think like depression is almost like a natural response to just the situation we're in. Like, of course that's happening, you know?
Absolutely. And I'm one of my best friends is a therapist, and you know, it talks about how a good therapist addresses these structural issues and doesn't just say, hey, it's your brain chemistry, right? Like, not only should you look at past trauma, but also literally the trauma of being, first of all, again, in late stage capitalism, and then all the intersecting, like, what marginalized communities are you a part of? Because that is an added layer of stress on top of just trying to function in this absolute insane hell world where we've all been bamboozled into believing that sacrificing 40 plus hours of our week for money to live is freedom.
I
think viscerally, physically, we all know that that's a lie.
Yes.
But
absolutely.
We're like, what other options do we have? Right.
Yeah. I just want to get to a point where we all just say that, like, look, we know that what we're doing isn't what we want to do, right? But we also know we don't have a choice. Can we just, like, admit, like, that it's not even, like, a complicated truth? It's just the obvious one.
Yes.
Can we just, like, say that? Can we get to a point where we just, like, speak simple truths? We don't have to go too far. Just the simple stuff first.
Right. I'm always amazed that people aren't willing to have those conversations, because to me, it's like, okay, wait, we're all struggling with this right now, right? Like, shouldn't we at least find common ground on this struggle? And then maybe, like, I don't know, this is my idealism coming out, but like, work together to maybe reconstruct society and maybe change things so we don't have to keep doing this, because this is a pretty brief period of human history, and we're all being taught and then somehow acting like this has been the standard and this is tradition or this is innate or whatever people say to themselves and say to other people to justify it. It's strange. Again, as somebody who is always like looking at something with a critical eye, I was like, really? You're just going to go along with this? No question? No, nothing?
Yeah, but at the same time, I know everybody is on the same page. I know they are. And there's like a desire to start the conversation, and there's even attempts at it, but we're fumbling around a bit. Yeah. So there's hope. There's tragedy, as Carol Quigley put it, but we'll see where we go from here. But Vanessa, we're getting toward the end of this hour. First of all, would you like to stick around for the second hour where this becomes the Uncle Show?
I think I will, yes.
Okay, well, thank you for that. So live listeners at Ocelli.com, stick around. This will become the Uncle the Podcast. Vanessa Lilkel will stay with us of Personal Pans Podcast. But why don't you where can we find Personal Pans? And also sure. Maybe Pan Paracon, where can we find your stuff online?
Yeah, so despite Twitter being a hellhole, I'm still on Twitter a lot. You can find Pan Paracon at Pan Paracon, also at panparacon.com, Personal Pans on Instagram and on Twitter. I am at Kali Butterfly, that is Kali Butterfly. If you're interested in seeing the chainmail, I used to do that for a living. That's KaliButterfly.com. Those are all the places that you can find me.
Okay, great. Well, yeah, thank you very much for coming on the show. I had a lot of fun here. I'm sure the Uncle Show will be no different. I will post the links for everybody at the post on theageoftransitions.com for this episode so you can all find Personal Pans and Pan Paracon. But yeah, thank you again, Vanessa, for being on the show this week.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for listening, of course. My name is Aaron Franz, and as always, I will leave you by saying, Seeker, seek on.
The Age of Transition.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
The Ocelli.com Radio Network. We'll be right back.
BrownChili.com.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Revelation through conversation.
That you were never taught in schools.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia.
By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before. That'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961.
Get your copy today at Amazon.com.
Why? The Vietnam War
by author Mike Swanson.
You're listening to the Ocelli.com radio network.
Advertise on the Age of Transitions. Hello, this is Aaron Franz, host of the Age of Transitions podcast and radio show. Do you like my show? Do you like the Ocelli Radio Network? Do you have a business? Do you have a product, a service that you need to promote? We can join all of your favorite things into one, and you can advertise your product, service, whatever it is you're doing. Maybe you have a blog, online store, you name it. You can be on the Age of Transitions on the Ocelli Radio Network, advertising what you got, and it could be a beautiful thing.
For as little as $50 a month, you can buy an ad for your business, podcast, book, or any message you want heard on one or more of the Ocelli.com shows. To find out more, contact ads at Ocelli.com. That's ADS at Ocelli.com. Be heard with us. Revelation through conversation. Ocelli.com. Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Warning, 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 warning.
This is a Mercy broadcast. Code Red, Code Red, Code Red, here we are. Pick up your iPads, your cell phones, and hand me and listen to Uncle the Podcast. Watch out. If you're sitting down for this, or if you're standing up, you better get ready for this, because it's going to hit the eardrums. Uncle the Broadcast.
You are listening to Uncle the Broadcast. My name's Aaron. I'm the nephew-in-law. Here with me is the star of the show, Uncle.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. 294 we're on, and I believe we have a special guest tonight.
We sure do.
Hold on that line for Jimmy James. I know, Jimmy, you're on line, but I want to send this special guest first.
Special guest. Yeah.
You're on the island. The name and where from? That's my entrance.
Hello, guest.
That's my entrance.
That's a great entrance.
Incredible.
Oh, yep.
My name is Vanessa Wililko. I am just north of Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, yeah. And Uncle Vanessa hosts a podcast, so a fellow podcaster. Her show's called Personal Pans.
All right, we're going to send you out a couple of my cards. You got you got a literary attempt to do this week.
Yep.
To send it to her.
On assignment.
She's got an assignment to send it.
Got to send some mail out. Got to send Uncle the podcast business card.
Business card out.
Out your way.
Out your way.
Yeah, it's important.
And I'll let you handle that side if.
Yeah, I've got it handled.
Yeah, he better throw in some of those stickers, too, those cool stickers.
Oh, yeah, throw stickers out. Because once you have a special guest, this is my new woo. Special guest. It's my new woo. When you get somebody new, I want them out. Send them out.
You mean I have to send them like a care package of sorts?
Yes, yes.
To any
guest. Any guest that you get.
All right.
Yeah. That's my new woo.
All right.
I forgot to tell you.
Okay. I think, the business cards, that's easy. Business cards, stickers, we got it. Yeah. So there you go, Vanessa.
There you go, Vanessa.
Expect a care package soon.
Skill package.
I love that because I love getting mail. So this makes me very happy.
Now, Vanessa, why don't you just explain for Uncle what your show is real quick?
Yeah. Okay. So Personal Pans it's mostly a lot of ADHD conversations, but it's talking about belief and transformation and any kind of weird or wonderful experiences people have.
Mm. You like the sound of that, Uncle?
Yeah.
We have some weird beliefs, maybe.
Oh, yeah. In Crazy Rock.
Crazy Rock, yes.
We have a rented house that we're working on.
Uncle is talking about Giant Rock in Landers, California.
Landers, California.
You can't help but go there and immediately have some kind of crazy belief.
Yes.
It's that kind of place.
It
got
is.
Got it.
And when we get everything finally and organized and finished, whenever that is, with the location, the paperwork that your daughter wife has to take care of, mm-hmm. and all that other stuff, I was going to decide on having some guests.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm trying to get him to move on with this.
What's your area of the country, Vanessa? I want to say Virginia. Am I right? Or is it somewhere else?
Chicago.
Sidekick's not paying attention. She just said Chicago.
I know. She just said it. I already forgot.
Think of Chicago Bears.
Uncle knew.
It's easy.
Yeah, I know.
Weird.
Well, needless to say, not many desert areas in Illinois.
Sadly, no. One of my favorite places, though, is Phoenix, Arizona. I love the desert.
See, there we go. We got a real guest now.
There we go.
You picked it there, so I checked.
All right, there we go.
We finally got somebody.
Desert lover.
Yeah, because he's been trying to find someone.
Yeah.
And now found you. So.
Always great to have a guest. And then we are still taking calls, Uncle, as always. Anybody can call in and join us. Give a question for our guest. Join the show. 319-527-5016. Charles.Ocelli on Skype. 319-527-5016. Uncle, I think we have a caller on the line. Should we go to him?
All right. Hold on a minute. All right, Dad. Jimmy James. I know who you are. Come on. What's happening?
Happy Easter, Uncle.
Oh, what's happening?
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Oh, yeah.
My apologies. The sound is a little low on my end, and I don't know how to make it higher. So if
your end or his end?
On our end.
I don't know what end.
So sorry, Uncle. I don't know. I can't.
Well, that's your
higher.
Department.
I know how it is.
Not my department.
I'll turn up the phones.
Don't burn my hour up because I'm low in position here.
Yeah, I'll turn up the phones a little bit, Aaron, but you let me know if you got that in your headphones next time Jimmy James speaks.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you, Chuck. But yeah, it's the knobs as usual, Uncle. It's what's going on there.
The knobs, these things?
Those ones.
Oh.
I think it's that
one. I'm going to put a name on them now, from now on. We're putting names on these.
Names for each knob?
Yes. Because this is the only way you can understand them.
Okay. Can I call the volume knob Bob?
Is that whoever. I got something special to talk to him. But that
Bob the Knob?
Me and him.
Why would you call the volume Bob the Knob?
Boy. That's something else I have to talk about.
Okay. That's something. Hey, Uncle, just so you know, we have listeners in Ukraine, in the UK, in Germany. No Canadian listeners tonight, but, of course, people all over the U.S. as well. A bunch in Texas. A lot in Texas.
Well, that's my area.
Yeah,
Texas is definitely like in that area. I know.
Seem to get a few over there.
Concentration in Texas. That's creative accidents over there. That's why. He does the thing. He goes out and does the street team work. So. And Seattle as well. A bunch in Seattle. So, but they're all over the place. Michigan.
Could have gotten you Dave on the show.
Yeah.
The person that we could have brought on, but
we have company in the house.
Company
now,
in the house. No,
I was ask if they wanted to be on the show, but maybe they would have. I don't know.
The only thing here, he has the guests of Seattle now. He might find out who it is.
Yeah,
he may know because he lives there.
Maybe that's a small town.
Small town. I'm just saying,
close knit community up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Uncle, should we go back to Jimmy, our caller, do you think?
Yeah, let's see what he has to say.
Jimmy, what's happening?
What's happening?
Well, I'll say that the Detroit Free Press, them scumbags, did a good job tricking me April the 1st.
What'd they do this time?
Oh, boy, what'd they do?
Oh, they said that the Lions dumped all their money and signed up Cam Newton.
Cam Newton? They got Cam Newton?
No, it was an April Fool's joke. Oh, it sounded so real, like something they would do. I didn't even doubt it. I was like, yeah, it sounds about right.
You know, you guys didn't even talk about April Fool's.
From us, they're still doing okay.
You know, you guys didn't even talk about April Fool's last week at all. Jimmy brings up a good thing. What about April Fool's Day? You guys mess around with that in the house or anything?
Not really much, because that was somebody's birthday.
Oh.
I have to eliminate. I've got another rule.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Whosever birthday falls on the 4th
the 1st of April,
okay, we've got a problem.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Anybody? We can't do an April Fool joke.
We can't.
Because it's truly her birthday.
Okay.
Don't you get that now?
Yeah, that sounds like a good rule. Okay.
That is a rule.
So no jokes, no jokes. No jokes. It's a serious day.
It's her
birthday.
His.
Hey, my birthday was on Good Friday. What does that mean, Uncle?
Ooh. Oh, whoa.
That must mean something.
Well, that means something good.
Okay.
Yeah, Good Friday.
Okay. I'm pretty sure, Chuck, according to some texts, and Veronica might be more knowledgeable on this than me, but I believe that means you're the Antichrist.
Fair enough.
Vanessa, any truth in that? Any thoughts on what a Good Friday birthday might mean?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I mean, I do kind of like that Antichrist angle personally. But I mentioned earlier, I was an edgelord in high school and some habits die hard.
Yeah, see, but I haven't risen to political power, or anything like that. So I'm thinking not me. But, you know.
Yet, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You still have time.
I don't know. I'm 51. It's a little late. You know what I mean? So I'm thinking.
Your name on the show.
What are you talking about? Our president's 30 years older than you, Chuck. You're a young man.
Yeah, but he doesn't know that. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. 50 is the new, I don't know, 20 or something. I think that's what they said.
Yeah, you tell that to my knees and my back. Sure. Go ahead.
Wow.
Try that.
Yeah.
No.
Good point. Point taken there.
Sorry, I can't help it.
But yeah, I think, what about the concept of birthdays and astrology and things like that. Any thoughts there, Vanessa? This may be your purview. Anything to say on that?
Oh, so astrology. I always want to know when, so what time, what day, and where someone is born, because then you can calculate their sun sign, their moon sign, and their rising sign. because most people just look at like the day, right? So I was born on February 5th. I'm an Aquarius, but I also have, yes.
Oh, I'm a bull.
Oh yeah.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
When's your birthday?
May the 3rd, 58.
Okay. Yes. So yeah, then you can figure out like the different aspects of a person's personality. All of this is like couched in air quotes because even though I love astrology, again, I don't know how much I believe in anything, but it's fun to find that information out.
Hmm. Yeah, there we go. What are your thoughts on astrology? Jimmy James, I'm going to throw it to you.
Yeah,
what Jimmy do you think James, about the old astrology?
Astronomy.
You love it, hate it?
Well, it served good purposes in the olden days. Is it important to understand the seasons and the harvest?
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of enjoy how all of the astronomical and even like things to do with the space exploration and whatnot are named after astrological and mythological names. And I just find that exciting. And I think there could be a little, makeup between, maybe not science and religion, but astrology and astronomy, maybe. I'd like to see them get together and make up, perhaps. They've been at
get
odds.
Together
did
again.
You ever watch?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Battlestar Galactica?
I've not. I'm on assignment, Jimmy. I will, but so far, failure there. Sorry.
Just watch the last few shows. Humor me.
I will. I promise I will. I'll get to that. Vanessa, are you a sci-fi fan at all?
Are you a sci-fi?
So I watched the reboot of Battlestar Galactica. I also am a huge Star Trek nerd.
Star Trek.
Because I grew up watching The Next Generation and also Deep Space Nine. Yeah, so it's so funny because initially I wanted to say like, nah, I'm not that into sci-fi. And I'm like, I could tell you a lot about Star Trek, so probably I should say yes, I am.
That will say yes.
That's a big yes.
That's a big yes. Well, since then, what you just said.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
No shame there. That's a good thing.
No, right? Yeah, yeah.
It's a good show. I will fight anybody who says it's not a good show.
Well, yeah. Most I enjoy most of the Star Trek. Hey, in the chat room, there's a question about the all-you-can-eat barbecued shrimp joint. Any updates on that?
Oh, no, not that's coming up again. We haven't had these two go out and check it out yet.
Yes, yes.
I'm pushing these two, but these two won't move.
Okay, so they need an update on Big Gerald Sanders' all-you-can-eat shrimp and barbecue.
That was your deal, not my deal, talking about that. No, we're back to that again. Talking about that, we didn't even get out there.
We're trying to figure out if this place is a myth or if it's real.
I'm starting to believe it's a myth.
We don't know for sure because we haven't been yet.
But
I want to believe it's real.
You might believe it's real, but I think it's a myth.
I want to believe.
I think we should explain to Vanessa what it is really quick.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Okay. So, again, we're back at – let's go back in the desert, a giant rock, because we should be. Because apparently Big Gerald Sanders is just a little further yet in the middle of the desert than Giant Rock, which is pretty far out there already. It's on Google Maps. If you look on the map there in Landers, the town where Giant Rock is, you go north a little, you know how it pops up little restaurants and things. There's one on there called Big Gerald Sanders All-You-Can-Eat Shrimp and Barbecue Buffet, which is out on a dirt road and where there should be no restaurant. But it's on Google Maps, so I say it has to be real.
I mean, I'm shocked you haven't tried to discover it yet because, first of all you can eat shrimp, I'm in, right? Yeah. Like, I would make a pilgrimage for that.
I got a woo. The next time we go up there, we're going to look for this.
So we are.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, my new wife, whatever she says, we are going to go, and I want to see if it's really there.
We got
to
go.
You got me going about the shrimp. You got me one about the shrimp. I love shrimp.
We're going out there to Touchstone Road, and we're going to see if it's there.
And then we'll have a comment back to you.
We will.
We will have a comment back to you to let you know if it's really there or if it's a fizz.
Yes. So stick with us,
Unless I was writing as a trap. Unless I was writing as a trap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jimmy said it was a trap.
So, I mean, I was going to say have cameras, maybe be live streaming it just to be extra safe and, like, you know, have like a club on you or something. Just, again, for safety.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Got a good point there. Last time, can do that and get some people.
Last time this
came. Get a posse. Get a posse. That's what they called in the Old West.
Might need it, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Last time this came up, Chris Graves kept talking about Leatherface and going out in the middle of the desert. Stuff like this. And, yeah.
That's why I'm saying.
Yeah, I got you.
Be armed and be live streaming, right?
Yeah.
I think that's wise.
That's very wise.
Forget that
thing
to save your life.
But really, see if it's really true or not.
I'm saying you should go, but I'm just saying. Pack some heat. Pick a Glock.
I mean, it is the desert. You're not, what are you doing on the desert if you don't have some sort of firearm with you? It's almost mandated.
I would suggest a shotgun. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in all this. I'm not all this. I think they're all great ideas, every single one of them. And we're going to do it. We're going out there. We're going to find out if it's real. It's just a matter of time. We will go out there. We promise the audience we're going to get to the bottom of this one.
And it had to get my attention. About
this. Oh, yeah. What's the theory, Jay?
I have a theory about this.
What is it?
I wonder, Aaron, if AI isn't filling in empty roads and putting fake crap there just for the hell of it.
It certainly could be. I wouldn't doubt that it could. Whether it is, I don't know.
It's on the map, for Pete's sakes.
Yeah,
people are reading maps. Yeah. And they can read that and see it black and white. Sitting right there, the words are right there.
That's my whole point.
Now, if the thing wasn't there, well, then I can understand it wouldn't be there.
Yeah, exactly. Why would it be on a map? Why would it be listed on a map if it's not actually there? That's my whole point on the thing.
Well, see, now, when I was out riding around with Mrs. O trying to do the Uber Eats deliveries, right? There was plenty of stuff on the GPS that wasn't right. You know, there was plenty of things. It's like, there's no apartment here. There's no road here. It says turn left. I'm like, where? There ain't no road. You know, they would tell you there's an apartment building. You got to go a half a mile away before you get to the actual apartment building. The GPS says you went past it, but there's nothing there. It's an empty field. A bunch of things like that happen, and that's, you know, Macon, Georgia. So, you know, who knows what goes on in the desert? Just saying.
I mean, this is out in the middle of the desert. I had to look it up on Google Maps. This is incredible.
Right. Okay, so you found it then.
You found it.
Yeah.
You did?
Okay,
you
okay.
Actually found it.
You're looking at the pictures of the shrimp and the dining with the Spider-Man. Have you seen Spider-Man?
I did, because I had to check the photos out. Like, what is this?
Right.
And then, of course,
the LBJ silver.
Is there a picture of LBJ there?
Yeah, LBJ could be one in the round.
There
he is. Knows?
There should be. There was when I checked.
No.
Well, I got distracted because there's a place called the Integration, like just south of there.
That is very much real. That's the Integratron built by George Van Tassel. I've been inside that for the sound bath, no less. It's quite the structure. Look that up sometime. You'll love it.
So this is incredible, right? Because you can have like a sonic healing session, and then you can have all you can eat barbecue shrimp. Like, that sounds like a day to me.
Yeah, not necessarily in that order. You pick the order that works for you, but you should do both.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in the area, you should do both.
Yeah. Well, how many minutes away from there, you say?
Oh, it's just like from the place in Landers, it's like to Giant Rock. It's going to take about 20 minutes. It's not many miles away.
20 minutes away from
three, 5 miles.
I'm tempting to go when we start to go back. I'm tempting
to the buffet.
To the buffet. Okay, I'm ready to have some food.
Oh, okay.
If it's there, I'll have some food.
Are you ready to not have some food if it's not there?
I'll be aggravated.
Okay. Yeah, so you're ready for disappointment.
I'm going to have the conversation, and they are going to know after the following week.
Oh, they're gonna
know. On might even put the Instagrams on it. Mm-hmm. But we'll put Instagrams on it too, please.
Air your tires down. Yeah, put it in four-wheel drive. We're going to pick Gerald Sanders.
Sanders
barbecue.
Barbecue.
Yep. He might not make it otherwise.
Yeah, he's got to pump down, pump it up.
Oh yeah, you got to air down, Uncle. You got to.
Yeah, pump down.
So what about the pictures, Vanessa? What do you think about pictures? The pictures of on the map there?
I mean, the three photos are very compelling. This really reminds me of like those 1960s, like UFO sightings or cryptid sightings, right? It's a lot of really out there information. Just a pile of shrimp and then a plastic bag. And then, a Spider-Man statue with like a girl in the background and she looks a little concerned.
It's a little girl too.
It's a small child.
I just noticed there's like a ship steering wheel on the wall of the bar, which seems to have two levels.
I think there's a veneer paneling. not much natural light.
No.
I just can't figure
this out. Which is unfortunate.
I
mean,
I just can't figure this out.
I think a good picture window would spruce the joint up a bit.
I think so. You know what? Okay, so I'm going to suggest a bold plan, and that when you find this place, you go in and you make some recommendations about.
Ooh, I'm going to pull some cards out to them. Believe me. We're going to have cards out, and I'm going to say, you people have. Well, as we have been talking about you guys for a while on my podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to throw it out to them so they can talk back at us.
Yeah, we'll be like.
And that will give us proof. That will give them proof that it's out there.
So we're going to give them proof of our existence when we show up.
Right.
Forget about proof of that place. We're going to prove to them what we are.
Yeah, yeah, to know. At least we know that it's there.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I want to know if it's standing here. My big point, and you were also saying it, you want to see if it's there. Be standing there.
Well, something is standing there. I know that. It's just a matter of what that thing is. Is it just a residence that happens to have a horse stables at it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Or is it actually a buffet restaurant?
I will give them a good deal if they want to sponsor your broadcast, too. I just want you to
know. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll throw that out to them, too.
We're going to go in there.
Yeah. We're going to do that.
We're going to have our whole spiel. We'll be like, look, first of all, the podcast.
I heard that stuff. You guys said the Leatherface lived here. We're losing all of our customers.
Leatherface? Where did this Leatherface man come from?
What about horror movies, Vanessa? You into the horror movies, Texas Chainsaw
Massacre.
I'm not that into horror movies. I mean, I'm into horror comedies. So, like, Shaun of the Dead, I think, is one of the best movies. I also really loved Hellraiser and the sequel.
Oh yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Generally, I mean, the joke I say is that like my mind is enough of a horror; I don't really need to see it on screen. It's just like the joy of anxiety, right? But occasionally, I will watch.
Yeah. I'm in a similar boat. I don't watch too many, but I like it. I like the genre. I just don't get around to watching that many.
I just also don't watch a ton of movies. I feel like I didn't grow up in a family that watched a lot of movies, and I still kind of like am a holdover from that, where I just don't really seek it out. I had Netflix like back in the day when you were, you know, mailing DVDs, you know, getting them in the mail and mailing them back. Yeah. And when I was doing that, I'm like, all right, I'm going to become a learned film watcher and, take out every like Kurosawa film and that kind of thing, but that didn't last for that long.
Did you make it to Citizen Kane?
I did not. No, I still haven't seen that movie.
Yeah, sure.
I'm in this.
Well, you know what? Speaking of Citizen Kane and Orson Welles, there's a really good clip of him talking about. Is it shrimp online? He's talking about like. Was it the fried fish sticks? Yeah, that's it, Jimmy. You've heard that one, Jimmy?
I must have heard it. He must have heard it.
That's a classic.
Oh, yeah. Last. He was not happy with the writing on his fish stick commercial. And he was drunk as a skunk on that cheap California box wine.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The Parmesan. Yeah.
There is a California wine.
Wow. Have you seen these, Vanessa? Have you seen these clips?
I have not. I feel like I have. There is this amazing thing I have missed in my life.
Look them up. Orson Welles on YouTube. They'll pop right up. Yeah, you'll find
incredible.
Them. Yeah, they're good. It's worth your time. I can tell you that.
I believe it.
You know, I'm starting to like this system, but changing the system.
Which system? The podcast?
Watching these shows that your wife sat on this TV.
Okay.
I sort of like it because it's less noise, less completely infused, and go to your movie you want to see.
Yeah. So we used to have, what, the satellite TV?
Now
we have what do we have now? We have some streaming thing.
Right? The streaming kind of TV show, boom, we're screaming.
We're doing the streaming.
Streaming.
Yeah. We like it. So it's working out good. Good.
It's working out.
Glad. Glad that was working. I don't watch a lot myself, but I mean, the setup, that's working for me as much as I watch.
That's great.
Do you watch a lot of TV or TV series, Vanessa?
Vanessa.
I go through phases. Right now, I'm obsessed with wrestling. So I've been watching, I've been binge watching. A&E has a series on WWE Legends biography. So
nice.
Watching a ton of those.
You just said the magic word, Vanessa.
If you
tell her, Uncle.
If you're into wrestling, I am trying, and I believe we'll have one next week.
Well, maybe.
Pushing on somebody. They're pushing on someone.
We're pushing.
Coming.
We are.
And if you're welcome to come on it next week, too, to actually talk to the man. Okay. If we get him.
Uncle has been very much wanting to get a professional wrestler as a guest on the show.
That's
been a regular topic of conversation for at least a month now.
At least a month.
Talking about that for a while.
Since you like.
So it's interesting that you would bring that up, actually.
Yeah, I've been since you brought it up.
Who about that guy from Paxton? He dabbles in wrestling.
Who?
Who is it exactly, Jimmy?
The guy from Taxi. He was the intercontinental, multi-gender wrestling champion of the world.
Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman?
I wish we could get him on the show. I would love it, but he's deceased. Yeah, I would have.
He passed on?
Many years ago.
I don't know who's passed on and who's still living.
Unless you're of the mind that he all did it as a practical joke and he's still alive, which I don't. But you know.
Long held practical joke. Jerry Lawler is still alive, though, the guy that he feuded with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kaufman. Classic, yeah.
Yeah.
You are familiar with Kaufman's work, Vanessa?
Oh, yes, very much so. I mean, I grew up watching Taxi.
I did too.
And then watched, I'm going to forget what the name of that movie.
Man on the Moon.
Yeah, Man on the Moon. Love that. Watched a couple documentaries about him.
Yeah, he's an interesting character.
I thought he was funniest when he was on the Carson show and that idiot wrestler was on there and he was purposely antagonizing him. He kept saying, "Oh, shut up. You don't know nothing. You don't understand. I'm from Hollywood." He kept saying stuff like that. It kept making the wrestler madder and madder.
Yep.
He says, "You don't even matter. Don't you get it? I'm from Hollywood."
Mm-hmm. Well, that was Lola, right?
That was Lola. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was. What was that? David Letterman and Lawler and Kaufman were on. Do you know? Chuck? Is that what
they were on several shows together? Lawler and Kaufman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah.
Well, I guess he was on Letterman. Yeah, he was on Letterman. You're right. It was a Carson. I don't know why I was thinking Letterman.
No, they were on several shows, but the one famous one, I think, where he actually knocks him over in the chair and all that was Letterman, right?
I think so. Yeah. That's my memory of it.
Yeah. He's the hell out of him.
Oh, but, yeah.
He put him in the hospital, busted him up. Probably killed him.
Yeah.
In the long run.
You were always wondering what's real and what's not, right? That was Andy Kaufman's whole thing. So, you know, to this day, you don't know exactly. But we have what Jerry Lawler has said after the fact. I think he has come forward with a bit of that. But, yeah, that was the greatness of the whole thing. It's like – and the just ridiculousness of the – was it the intergender wrestling or whatever it was? It's hilarious. Oh, man.
He was undefeated. And then after Waller beat the crap out of him, he said, well, what's your plan? He said, you know what? I'm just not enjoying wrestling anymore. I think I'm retiring.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole bit where he's from Hollywood.
This stuff is throwing people over the thing, playing with fake blood, fake punches in the mouth when they're going after each other. It's really interesting, though, when you see something live.
Well, some of those guys, the blood was real sometimes, Uncle, where they would cut themselves to bleed on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something they called blading, actually.
But the thing is, if you really want to see one of those suckers, good to see it live. Mm-hmm. And you really can tell.
You've seen it live, right?
Yeah, Uncle? I've seen it live once. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when that was? Was it 80s, 90s? After that, perhaps even? What era? What wrestlers did you see perform? Do you remember the stars?
It might have been.
Like, who was your favorite person that you saw?
Well, in previous to the 90s, it would be important to know where he saw it, Aaron, because there used to be wrestling territories.
So, depending on
where Uncle was living.
I forgot to remember. I had someone that came with me.
I assume Florida? Were you in Florida?
Yeah, it's in Florida. It was in Florida.
Okay.
It was in Florida.
Yeah, so that means that he couldn't have seen the early Vince McMahon stuff because that's a different territory. Until the later 80s. So he's dealing with the Southeastern territory there.
Southeastern.
So he might have seen Ric Flair if he was lucky.
But I heard the names come out, but I can't picture the wrestler.
It wasn't anybody like Andre the Giant or like Hulk Hogan or even like later like The Rock or Stone Cold Steve Austin or somebody like that.
I'm thinking he might have seen Ole and Arn Anderson.
It wasn't these names. Yeah, as you're saying.
Ole Anderson?
You're saying.
Arn Anderson
and these. Ole Anderson. I think it was one. He might have been on. Mm-hmm. Ole Anderson. I might have had seen him.
Okay.
He was wrestling, come in, started wrestling. He was the one that I think I remember.
Okay.
He was in there, in one of these matches. I forget which one.
But needless to say, the live event was exciting.
It was exciting. Mm-hmm. And very jump off when people were sitting there, you know, when they're sitting there watching his stuff. Something jumps up at you.
So you feel like you're involved in the match itself.
In some like that. Yeah.
Okay.
You're in a match and you're looking at it and you're saying, wow, wouldn't you think it would be like to be on that match?
Okay.
Bam, bam,
okay.
And then things come to your head.
Okay.
That's how it feels when you're live watching something.
That's exciting. Yeah, I would have loved to have seen it when I was a kid. I just never did. Vanessa, have you seen the live wrestling event?
Did you see?
I haven't. No. I used to watch as a kid, like obsessed with. I loved the Bushwhackers. I loved Roddy Piper. You know, and then there was like 30 years where I didn't watch anything, and now I'm back.
My favorite wrestler out of these bunches of people is the Sting.
Sting. Oh, yeah.
That was my boy. Because he was up in the rafters. What's he doing up there? Black man coming down off the rafters now?
Yeah, I love his black metal look.
Yeah, that's my favorite guy.
Sting, came, yes.
That's very cool. What documentary, like, who has the most interesting documentary of these series you've been watching recently, Vanessa? Whose story is the most interesting?
I was watching, actually, right before we started recording, the Macho Man Randy Savage one.
Oh boy.
nice.
Because just his whole life, like, he wanted to play baseball, got obsessed with baseball, and then got drafted, and then was cut. And as soon as he got cut from, I think, the White Sox, he was just like, I'm done with baseball. I'm never touching this again. He apparently, like, broke his bats. And then his dad was a wrestler, and he was like, how do you get to be the best in this? And then just committed himself to that. Roddy Piper, I mean, watching the Roddy Piper documentary, like, when he passed in, what was it, 2015, I cried. I wept when I found out. And he had a really hard life and just decided to be the absolute best heel in wrestling that he could be.
Yeah, that's admirable. Yeah, his. What about his part in
They Live?
Yes, They Live. Thank you. I don't know how I forgot.
Yeah. I love that movie. I watched it as a kid, and I remember crying at the end of that movie as a kid because I was like, "No, but it's Roddy Piper. Why are you doing this to him?"
Yeah, that movie's great.
Yeah.
I think you're watching the A&E series.
I am. Yeah. Yes. And John Carpenter says that the line about chewing bubble gum was a Roddy Piper line because he wanted to be like the best smack talker. So anytime something like on a television show or in a movie or read something in a book, he kept notepads of trash talk so that anytime he was in the ring, he would just like have these notes essentially ready. And so he apparently handed one of these notebooks to John Carpenter, and who like saw the bubblegum line and was like, yeah, sure, we'll use it in the movie.
I mean, brilliant directing, brilliant acting. It all came together on that one, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
What movie was The Parallax View then? I thought that was that movie.
Oh, no, that's The Parallax View. That's a different movie earlier.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. I need to.
They Live was in the 80s. I think Parallax View was the 70s.
Same one where he puts it in the sunglasses and see.
That's They Live. That's They Live, yeah.
Yeah, They Live. They have the sunglasses and they put them on. They can see behind the billboards and stuff. It just says stuff like obey and conform and stuff like that, you know. And that's the real message. If you're wearing the sunglasses, you can see past it.
Mm-hmm. Put on the glasses. Put on the glasses.
That is one of the most hilarious, extraneous scenes ever, where he's fighting with that guy. I can't remember who the guy was, but he's fighting
Keith
with him.
David. It's so good. Yeah.
David.
It's classic.
It's like a 10-minute fight.
It's yes.
Like so long that he's just beating on him, trying to get him to put the sunglasses on, like for 10
the
minutes.
Sunglasses on, and he's trying to fight him.
It's such a good scene, though. It's that like it's just showing the. How difficult it is to try to like get somebody to see like the truth, right? Or if you're trying to like tell somebody something difficult, the reticence of them in coming around to what you're trying to show them, that's the fight that ensues, right?
Totally. Absolutely. I mean, we were talking about this last hour, right? Like, you are committed to a belief system. You're committed to a way of seeing the world, and you just kind of have almost like an allergic reaction to anything outside of it. Mm-hmm. And so, like, trying to convince somebody is a lot of work, and sometimes it's a brawl in the street.
Brawl in the street. Yeah. That comes with the street cream. I got a street cream working on that.
We do. They're hard at work as we speak.
They're
promoting the show.
Most brawls don't take that long in the street, though. That is a very. I've never seen a fight scene in a movie that goes on that long. It's like, you know,
I mean, outside of like in a boxing ring where you got 10 rounds or something, that's the only time it goes any longer. Otherwise, no, there is no one-off like street fight scene that's ever been that long, I don't think, in another movie. I've never seen it anyway.
Yeah, famous scene, famous for being ridiculously long. It's genius. To me, it's genius. And John Carpenter's awesome. Roddy Piper, awesome. And yeah, so many of like the character actors and stuff are really great in that movie too. Like,
oh yeah,
a lot going on there.
The Rock.
The Rock.
The Rock's got his own way to doing things.
He sure does.
And more than he came out with that ring, then I think he stole the shows. He kept going, what? Who is going to come on to match me? And it's going on back and forth, back and forth. They ain't going no crazy.
He's another perfect example of like Piper. Like he rose to prominence because he was like an ultimate smack talker. Like,
he was a smack talker.
There's like
for
nobody
sure.
better, really.
Totally, yes. That's already by the time I've like stopped watching, but now since I'm going back and like watching YouTube videos and watching this biography series, it's like, oh, okay, yes, I can see the tradition live on in him.
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff he says, you can't help but laugh at the stuff he says. He's hilarious.
Totally. It's also really fun to like look up videos on YouTube about watching wrestlers trying to make each other break.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know how they don't do it more, honestly.
Truly, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the... I mean, taking those horrible hits they take is impressive, but that as well is also impressive. Like, they're good actors. They're good actors.
Very excellent. Very good ones. I mean, they can fool anybody.
It's over the top, but it's supposed
to be. Over
the
top on that.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. It's so theatrical. It's incredible.
But yes, Jimmy, how you doing over there? Any thoughts on any of this?
Yeah.
Still with us there? Yeah, wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling.
Yep.
Indeed.
Hey, Uncle, you remember the guy who played Kane in Wrestling Kane? He had the mask.
Undertaker's
he was
brother.
Supposed to
yes, under- yes.
You know he's he wound up being a mayor.
He and what state?
Tennessee, I think.
Yeah.
He became a mayor?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard that. Yeah.
I haven't heard that one. Yeah. No. When did that come up?
No, for real. I think he is now. I'm not sure if he is now, but he became a mayor a few years back. Very serious. Yeah.
Yeah, but that may or may not matter. It's like everyone makes a big deal out of one of them Campbell brothers being the mayor of Dallas when JFK was assassinated. Then, as now, the office of mayor in Dallas is purely ceremonial. The only thing he was authorized to do was carry giant scissors.
Cut the lines off the...
Well, I'll tell you this. On your way to the Greyhound bus station in Dallas, if you look up, going down to one street there, you'll see a giant CIA building, and it's the Charles Cabell CIA building. So, you know, just so you know, it's right there by the Greyhound station. Go ahead and Google map that if you want, because I walked past it when I left there.
Was that the one that was the brother?
Yeah, that's...
He was in, like, the OSS or some crap in the World War II. I mean...
No, that's a guy who was in... Who was part of the CIA, yeah.
There definitely was documents that say that he was, at one time, a CIA asshat. But like I said, in the position of mayor, he couldn't have done squat.
Now, I understand Earl Cabell was the mayor, but Charles Cabell, apparently, if the CIA names a building after you, I'm thinking you must have done something for him. Just saying. I'll leave it at that.
Yes.
Ain't no buildings named after me.
Well, that's all. What did Angleton do where they got a shrine to him in Israel? Did you know that, Chuck?
Yeah, I do. But we'll leave that alone, too, for tonight, because it ain't government hour, right? So,
that's
you guys talk.
That's a lot to unpack on that one.
That's you guys' talk.
Oh, right.
I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Your hour.
Bring that back out, Jimmy, sometime on Government Hour. What to see? Figure out on that front. But yeah, we're getting toward the end of the show. We're not there yet, but this is just like a little warning for everybody, so we know it's coming up around the bend. We still haven't figured out if Big Gerald Sanders is real, but we're not going to tonight.
And I have a Skype add in a minute here. I just got to get him, but give me a second.
Okay. Good. Cool. Pop him on.
We do have time for another.
We got
call
one call. We can go.
Yeah, you can call in if you want to. Mm-hmm. The line is still open. Call any given Sunday. This is Easter. We haven't talked a lot about that. Any thoughts on that, Uncle? The fact that today is Easter Sunday?
It's the ninth day. Where people go. Mm-hmm. So, know what this is. Got to understand what it is.
Okay, another Skype caller's added in.
Right.
Okay, all right, so we got the new caller.
New caller, where are you from? Where you calling from? And where are you from? And who is this?
You're on air.
On air.
Well, my name is Chris. I came from my parents a long time ago. How are you?
This guy. Chris! Congratulations, Chris. You win the jackpot.
There we go.
Oh, how much?
We find out when he talked to the wrestler.
Oh,
that's
okay.
To be determined.
To be determined.
TBD.
I'm still trying. I missed tonight's show because I got caught up in a situation. But what's going to happen? Did you?
Well, we're not yet.
I did. But, yeah. First of all, thank you, Chris, for making that happen. The man's name eludes me now, but he is a wrestler in Melbourne, Australia. I've looked up a quick video on him. He's definitely good, and he's rising in the ranks. It looks like he said that he asked to DM him. So I did. I sent him a DM.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I'm just waiting his response, and I'm sure he probably
responded yet.
Well, not yet, but I assume he's busy, and he'll probably. I mean, he was just the fact that he said DM me was like very exciting. I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. So of course I did. Just waiting for the response. So,
well, Uncle, I'll tell you this. I ended up reaching out to a lot of female wrestlers that they seem very nice. I'm hoping they get back to us too, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, really? Well, we'll see if this one comes out to be a caller, because we have a special guest on the line here.
We do.
Right now, and she's into it. Into it too.
A wrestling fan.
Wrestling fan.
No less.
Oh, I'll shut up then. Oh, please.
This
Vanessa.
Vanessa.
Personal Pan
is
podcast.
You can.
Podcast is more than just pizza.
Yeah. Other than podcast pizza.
Did you know that the UFC? Do you know the UFC and W, whatever it is now, is going to join?
Yes.
Yeah, Endeavor, I think, was the...
Oh, yeah, that's the group that owns UFC?
I think so, yeah. Mm.
Sounds right. That sounds familiar. Yeah, so now they're one big conglomeration. They've merged, mergers and acquisitions.
Yeah, it's so hard because, especially, like, you know, watching these WWE biographies, like, I really liked the fact that there were these regional companies and that they were kind of competing with each other and... I don't know. I kind of like smaller, scrappy things. Although I do love the production of like WrestleMania, but there's something kind of fun about just like people trying to make it happen, you know?
Yeah.
What gets my attention is these ladder matches.
The ladder matches.
These are when they keep going up the ladder. One falls down. We got to go back up the ladder. They're going up there, fighting back and forth. I get a kick out of those matches.
Yeah. Yeah, those are insane. I was rewatching some clips.
Insane. And then trying to grab the rope, whoever it's it, wins it, match it. It's going on back and forth.
Those are crazy.
And then the tables fly.
Yeah, throw them through a table, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Those are good. Gotta love it. But I think we're close enough to the end of the show, Uncle, where we need to get to the important business of shout-outs. What do you say to that, Uncle?
Okay, first one, of course, is our guest. Can shoot out him. We're having shout-outs, so have your shout-out. Say what you want.
Yeah, so Vanessa, who would you like to shout-out to tonight out there that may be listening?
Oh!
I knew it was coming back.
Don't mean to surprise you. If you want, we could go to somebody else while you think of somebody. Let you think like that.
Yeah, that would be the best. Thank you.
Okay, okay, we will do that.
We'll do that. Well, that would be Jimmy next.
We're going to Jimmy.
I got him in line. Don't worry, so I can't.
Line him up, Uncle. All right, Jimmy.
Jimmy, you're first then.
Who are you shouting out to?
Shout out to the Easter Bunny. You did a good job.
As always. Always there. It's very dependable. Very dependable. All right, Jimmy. Great having you, man. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. And then we also have Chris. You want to have Chris right now?
Chris now?
Shout out to Chris.
Shout out to Chris.
Well, I'd like to shout out Uncle and Sidekick and Chuck O'Chelly and Ernest P. Worrell and Balky Bartokamoose and Vanessa W.
You started out so great.
And I failed miserably. Sorry.
It's okay. You mentioned Balky, so you win the night, first of all.
The Dance of Joy.
Oh, Cousin Larry.
Cousin Larry.
Yeah, for some reason I loved that show when I was a kid. I can't tell why now, but I sure did.
Yes.
So the feeling's mutual here on this call, I assume. Okay,
go.
All right, Chris. Well, thank you very much. And hey, man, we really appreciate all the hard work you've done. Yeah. And I've got to shout out to who you got us in touch with in a moment coming up. So thank you for that, man.
Well, yeah, that and you got 40 others that hopefully will reach out to them and try it.
Well, look, this first one to get started, and like I said, they will follow.
It'll happen.
Possibly.
It'll happen.
Yeah, no. That could happen.
I believe it'll happen. Yeah. Good night, guys.
All right.
Good
take night. Care, Chris. Take we'll care, see Chris. You soon. Yeah. All right, Vanessa, you ready Vanessa, for your shout out at this point?
Yeah, I'm going to give a shout out to Bigfoot and Mothman, two of my favorite cryptids.
Nice.
Yeah.
They're great ones. Yeah. Mm. All right. Okay, I am going, or Uncle, you want to do a shout out?
You can do it.
I'll
I'm
do one
the
real
last
quick.
One. I'm the last guy because I shut the show down.
You are the show, Uncle.
That's why I shut the show down after. So you go next.
Okay, I'm gonna do this, and then you can just shut this thing down after this.
Okay, unless Chuck wants to say something.
First of all, I'm going to shout out again to Chris Graves for making the wrestler contact happen. And the wrestler in question here is Adam Brooks, again from Melbourne. He did, I think, Melbourne City Wrestling. I was watching some clips of him. He definitely talented guy, and thank you for, saying about the DM. Hopefully we'll have him on the show. So Adam Brooks, shout out to him. And then, Uncle, who you got a shout out to tonight?
I'm out. Shout out to, of course, our special guest for one.
Yes, absolutely. That's
for her. And another for what everybody is working to do for the following for these wrestlers. To shout out to all of these.
Yes.
And also to my producer, Chucky. Hey, you.
Be and sure Chuck. To listen to Personal Pans. Do you want to give out the info on Personal Pans real quick, Vanessa?
So you can find Personal Pans wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm also on Instagram and on Twitter at Personal Pans.
All right. Thank you very much for being on the show, for doing both hours tonight. We really appreciate that. It's great to have you.
An absolute joy. Thank you.
Well, nice.
All right. Now, Uncle, we're UncleThePodcast.com website, at Uncle Podcast, Twitter, Instagram. Why don't you just bring it on home for the week here, Uncle?
There's our show, 294 in the history books. Bye-bye.